You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back, and I've just got to call it like it is, the queen of medical marijuana here in the state of Florida. We've got Nicole Freed. Nicole is the shareholder at the Ignite Florida Law Firm. Nicole helped write the law. Nicole, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me today.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure, and I guess we should start right at the top. We played the song Smokin' earlier. What's wrong with playing that for this?
And not so much right now in the state of Florida. Right now, to smoke the marijuana is actually illegal still. So it prohibits us from even selling the product as a whole flower, and you still can't smoke it.
Wow, that just seems to be inconsistent with the voters' wills and wishes, but we don't do politics on this show, so we're just going to let that go. I do give a high five to my good friend from back at the UF days, John Morgan, for going after this, getting this part done, and I guess going to try to fix the glitches that are still out there. Now, Nicole, what is legal today?
So just kind of go back and kind of tell everybody what the issue is on smoking so we kind of understand what the parameters working in.
Sure.
So when the constitutional amendment passed in November, it's very specific in the amendment that it says smoking in public is prohibited. So some believe, like John Morgan, that implies that you can smoke in the privacy of your own home and that the medical marijuana treatment center should be able to sell it. The legislatures obviously had a different view of the situation and so made smoking illegal. However, everything else is pretty much legal in the state of Florida for medical purposes. So the medical marijuana treatment centers, which is what we're called, are allowed to sell anything from the oils to any of the other extracts from the plant, to edibles, to vapors, to topical creams, lozenges, sprays. You name the other type of derivative product, you'll start seeing that here in the state of Florida.
Now, are people producing this and stockpiling it, or what's going on?
So kind of give you a little bit of a background. So in 2014, when the first time that medical marijuana was authorized, it was considered Charlotte's Web, which was low THC, high CBD, and it was for cancer patients and for epilepsy. And so at that time, back in 2014, there was originally 5 producers that were authorized to produce this low THC, high CBD,
right.
And they were able to do it across the state of Florida. And then in 2016, they expanded it to right to terminal patients, and that would have been high THC, and 2 additional license holders currently exist. So of the 7 that are currently licensed, 6 out of 7 are currently manufacturing, producing, distributing, and the 7th should be getting their distribution authorization in a matter of time.
Now, are the different license holders limited geographically? How does that work?
So originally when the bill was passed in 2014, there were 5 chosen in each of the regions, Northeast, Southeast, Central, Southwest, and Northwest. However, when you receive your license, you are allowed to distribute anywhere in the state of Florida. So none of us are beholden to actually selling in the region in which we were licensed in.
So then you're limited to where you can grow, but not to where you can sell. So I guess there's going to be a lot of activity on the highways in the state of Florida.
Well, actually, now after the original 5 were chosen and an additional 2, actually now we are not geographically even limited to where we first got our license. So there are certain producers that were licensed, let's say, in the Southwest region who also has a grow site in the Northwest. So we're now able to grow and to cultivate anywhere in the state of Florida as well. But yeah, there certainly will be a lot more traffic on the roads for us distributing the product throughout the state. Some are quickly opening dispensaries across the state. Others will open up as more patients come online, and we'll be able to, one, either do home delivery or out of any of the dispensaries in any of the communities.
Now, I'm just a novice here. I don't know much about this. I'm sitting across from a marijuana doc. We're going to talk about getting your card and who can get a card in the second half of the show. But the first half, I wanted to talk to you about some of the misconceptions or the conceptions that I don't even have formed yet. One of them is, what type of opportunities are there? Because the growers are vertically integrated. So do they grow it and then sell it too? And are, you know, yeah, how do they do that?
So the way that these regulatory laws were developed in the state of Florida is that we are vertically integrated, which means that only the license holders, the medical marijuana treatment centers, are authorized to basically touch the plant besides the caregiver or the patient. So if you are a medical marijuana treatment center, you are responsible for cultivating, manufacturing, and then distributing of the product. And so only right now, the seven of us that are holding licenses are allowed to distribute.
Okay. And I'm just doing some hopscotching around here. If there's a direction I should go in that I'm not going in, please just guide me. You know, one of the things that was a real big question, and we all saw the 60 Minutes thing about the guys driving around with the trunk fulls of cash. And, you know, that would make just about anybody nervous to be in a business that's all cash. I recently have gone to a couple of events. It sounded to me like some community banks are starting to get into the business where they're going to actually allow people to bank this type of income. What are you seeing from that perspective?
Yeah, so obviously this is still a federally illegal product. This is still a Schedule I, and as we all know, the banking system is controlled by the feds. And so which time that there is either it gets descheduled or reclassified, or there's some loosening in some of the banking institutional regulations, and we're still seeing this is going to be a predominant cash-only product. And so what we're seeing is that a lot of the banks across the country, and the First Green Bank, which actually has absolutely nothing to do with medical marijuana.
Just closed the deal with them, for the record. Just closed the deal with them, for record. Aren't they more about green energy?
Exactly. That's how they started their energy banking. And so they actually are a state chartered bank.
That's what I was going to say. The state chartered banks. How about the state chartered banks?
They still have to follow FDIC regulations. But what they've done is they are taking a calculated risk and they are allowing us to bank with them. And so I believe a majority of the current seven have actually accounting through there. I know that's how I get paid every month. And so all of our operating expenses goes through there, and they are willing to take our cash and to deposit it. The problem is that the patients, then unless I guess the patients have a bank account with the First Green, they are still walking into any of our facilities or when it's being delivered to your home, still with cash. That there's still a definite problem in the marketplace dealing with the cash from the patient perspective.
So then, what are some of the other, well, I'm going to take a step back for a minute because I'm getting too muddled. So there's opportunities for people to get into this business, we'll call it what it is, this business, on two different, I'll call them planes. There's the, I'm going to touch the plant, I'm going to touch the flower, I'm going to cultivate it, I'm going to, you know, do whatever. I guess I don't know if logistics is included in that. And then there's the ancillary businesses, the marijuana dock, the people that sell, I don't want to say landscaping materials, but call it hydroponic piping and other stuff and facility. People are going to build these things. People are going to lease and rent these things. So what is like the split? I almost used the word bifurcation, but I don't use big words on the show. So how do these two businesses split?
Well, obviously, you know, we have a lot of, it's just like in any other pharmaceutical world, we work a lot with the doctors, and we have pharmaceutical, basically, you know, reps that go across the state to educate the doctors on the types of products that we sell. And so the doctors, obviously, any of the doctor clinics, the doctors who are registered, a lot of it's going to be doctors who have their own already patient base that are just now expanding to actually be able to recommend medical marijuana. It's not a prescription, it's a recommendation because it's, again, still federally illegal. And so you've got that component of it. And then obviously there's limited licenses, so there is a limited opportunity to actually get into the business of the production and the distribution. But yeah, there's definitely all these other factions out there, the ones who are developing new mechanisms to for testing. There's going to be independent testing labs. There's also going to be those who might be, yes, building out our facilities. So there's always going to be the real estate component of it. A lot of each of the seven of us have different business models of whether or not we're going to actually buy a piece of property and retrofit it versus buying a piece of land and just building out. Single standing buildings like an old bank or an old drive-through versus something that's in a shopping center. Each of us are going to have a little bit of a different aspect, but there's going to be opportunities as far as the production of some of the other products that we may purchase if we find that somebody has, you know, created some type of delivery mechanism that we like. We may purchase the rights to use it. So there's definitely a lot of opportunities that are outside of just the actual production and distribution.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. Can you stick with us and do another segment, Nicole?
Absolutely.
You know I have a never-ending flow of questions. I'm just...
Of course, and hopefully I have a flow of answers.
You're always got an answer for just about every question. We're going to be right back with the Ignite Florida chief lobbyist for the one of the main growers here vertically integrated real estate business, marijuana business. What do I call this stuff, Nicole?
We are called Miracle Marijuana Treatment Centers.
Thank you so much. She has the last word. We'll be back. We're going to learn more about how you can feel better today using medical marijuana after we play some music, do some ads.